Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker. I'm a business coach in Austin, Texas, and we are dedicated to helping small businesses learn how to be better. So better business starts here. The greatest business starts here. And to get us kicked off today, we're talking with Emily Leach, the founder of the Freelance Conference and the Texas Freelance Association. Welcome to the show, Emily.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is so cool.
Well, I want to talk about freelancing because freelancing is becoming so much bigger than it's ever been. And I know you and I have talked in the past about how freelancing is going to be the way that people do their business in the future, in the not too distant future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right in that it's not only changing in the fact that there's more people coming on board, but it's changing in the fact that it's much more readily accepted. I mean, even amongst society, you don't have this, this shame about not having a job and not really having a business. You do.
Right. It used to be, well, you know, when you get real work, it's going to be too bad because you won't be home all the time. And now it's people are recognizing that you do have real work and you are doing a real job and that you are a business owner.
Yeah, that's the biggest piece that I see missing, even for the freelancers themselves, is just helping them really understand that you are a business. You do have to take care of the business side of stuff. And then once they get that, which luckily that's learnable, right? And once they get that, they seem to do really quite well.
What do you think is the biggest stumbling block to them understanding? Is it a lack of education, or is it just the idea that a lot of freelancers start out with, oh, well, I'll do this until?
You know what? I think it's probably neither one of those as far as the number one. I would say that it's more of a mindset because the majority of freelancers, although that's changing as millennials come on and they don't have this steady work for many, many years before they, you know, they go into freelancing. But right now we still have, you know, the average freelancing age is, I think, like 45, you know, somewhere between 35 and 55, so we're going to pick 45. And this age group has at least spent some period of time, a relatively long period of time usually, working in a corporate scenario. And so you've never had to think about life or work or anything else in any other fashion, then I go to work, I get my benefits, and I get my paycheck, and I climb the ladder, right? And so it's a completely different mindset. They have to shift how they think about their overall well-being. Now there's something else to consider. There's this business. It has to stay alive. It has responsibilities. And
why do you think so many in that age group are going into freelancing?
Well, I personally think, because I hear this so much, I personally think that it has a lot to do with we're beginning to shed, I mean, I am sort of in that age group, so we're beginning to shed this idea that we were fed, that we had to go to work and work at a company for 30 years and then retire. Most of us no longer believe in the standard retirement requirements. And we want to live our life now. We've seen or heard of too many people that did their 30 years, retired, and then didn't have the physical capacity. You know, their faculties weren't what they were in their 30s and 40s and maybe even early 50s to really enjoy those trips to Greece or Italy or, you know, whatever retirement is for them. So, like, wait a minute, freelancing allows me to have that life, allows me to stay home, maybe with the kids, and give them the life that I might have had, you know, with a stay-at-home mom or dad or both. So it gives them some flexibility, and they're finally waking up and saying, I can do this.
Do you think, I'm hearing a lot, a buzzword that I haven't heard in a long time. People are talking about freelancers going in for lifestyle businesses. What is that they're talking about?
Well, typically, the way I see it, and I have heard that there's a difference in opinion here, but the way that I see lifestyle business is that you are working just enough to create and maintain a lifestyle. Now, you know, just enough could be $50,000 a year. It could be $200,000 a year, right? But the priority is your lifestyle, and your business supports your lifestyle versus the standard mindset of I'm going to build a business and work my absolute tail end off, and when that business hits it big and pays off, then I get to go live my life, right? So there's the big difference.
Yeah. Well, because one is living your life now, and the other is building
right.
so that you can live your life later.
Right. They want the integration now, which has its pros and cons, right? So if you are looking at retirement and whatever retirement looks like for you, which a lot of freelancers are like retirement, that's, you know, that's a joke. But it may or may not be, depending on what you put away and what your health is like, because a lot of times you don't really know what your health is going to be like. So you need to plan mm-hmm. to some degree. And that's one of the problems that I see with a lot of the lifestyle businesses is they tend to think that that's probably what their lifestyle is going to be like forever and maybe not put enough aside to be okay if something does happen and that lifestyle needs to change.
Do you think that one of the fallacies about lifestyle businesses, and it can be a freelancer does not preclude you from having a lifestyle business. It's just a different way of looking at it. But do you think that the lifestyle business, people don't realize that it is just, you've got to work at it just as hard as you do any other kind of business to sustain it?
You do. In fact, you may even have to work harder in some instances, depending on how you build your network and how you get your clients, right? So you have to get a little bit more strategic about it and in order to make sure that you can get the work done
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that you have, you know, a steady client flow coming in, steady enough that you don't end up upside down, which can happen a lot of times. And so there are some fabulous lifestyle businesses out there where they really have figured out their flow, you know, their workflow, their client flow. They figured out how to make those strategic partnerships so that their marketing is an absolute breeze regardless of where they are in the world. They have steady client work coming in. They've learned how to use some of the gig platforms, the Upworks and the Freelancer and stuff like that, so that they can keep their income steady so that they truly can enjoy their lifestyle and still put money aside to take care of the future.
In terms of freelancers, where do you see the market right now? Kind of what is the state of freelancing right now?
Well, it is definitely on its growth spurt. In fact, it may be even starting to feel a few growing pains, and I actually say that a little bit different than what growing pains is normally referred to, but you know, as freelancing grows, as more and more freelancers come on board, then we see places like, you know, organizations like Freelancers Union is right on the precipice right now of getting their first law in place in New York that will help, to some degree, help protect freelancers and help them get paid. And so more and more policy will begin coming to the forefront, and it just takes enough people to show that there is an issue, and the issue is big enough that legislation, whether it be at, you know, city level, state level, national, needs to be addressed. And so that's a huge shift that we're going to see, I think, over the next 5 to 10 years. I believe it's going to continue to be a slow shift, but there is no other way for it, other way than for it to shift. And then I think this issue that we're seeing so much of right now, that we were just talking about, of freelancers not understanding business, their concept of business and how to be a business, is probably going to diminish a little bit, because I think it'll become more common knowledge and, you know, in society in general of how to build those relationships and how to run that freelance business.
When you're talking about building your business, again, it's something that freelancers don't often think about, at least right now. And they think, well, I'm just a freelancer. And I hear that a lot. What is the freelance conference doing that's going to help with that?
Well, one of the things that I believe the Freelance Conference has the opportunity to do for freelancers is to acknowledge that they are extremely important. In fact, they're important enough for a whole bunch of speakers and workshop facilitators and organizers to come together and want to teach you guys how to build a better business. You know, I'm with you. I really, really bugs me when I hear freelancers say, I'm just a freelancer, because I want to say, well, then what can we do to make you a freelancer, you know, so that you're proud of it? And one of the things that I don't think that you even know about yet is I'm getting ready to do a tour of about 6 cities across America over the next three or four months to celebrate freelancers. We're going to put together a little party, an evening of Ignite presentations and, you know, hold up a glass of beer or wine and celebrate and just acknowledge freelancers for all that they are, all that we do, and, you know, that you're a really, really important part of this economy. The freelancers make up right now, the last I heard was like 34% of our entire economy comes from freelancing. We're not potatoes like people think we are. We're the meat.
Well, and we work hard. And I think that that's another misconception that people have about freelancers is that it's just a bunch of people who want to work from home and not work very hard, when in reality, freelancers work incredibly hard. You can't be that much a factor in the economy and not work hard.
Right, and a lot of freelancers, and I do mean a lot of freelancers, have families. And one of the things I love so much, I mean, it gave it to me as a single stay-at-home mom to be a freelancer and be able to do that, right, is a lot of us grew up, again, we're talking about this age group of, you know, probably our middle 40s and even getting a little bit older, is a lot of us grew up with a stay-at-home mom, or stay-at-home parent, let's just say, right? And then there was a whole few generations that grew up with just a mom or a dad, and they and usually always they both worked. And I think that's had an effect on the way those children were raised. I don't know if it was good or bad. It just had an effect. And I see a lot of that generation really, really wanting to kind of go back to those roots a little bit and say, hey, I want one of us to be at home to raise our kids, if not both of us. So freelancing can allow that to happen.
I know that, that for me as well, when I was a single parent, being able to work at home really was the only way that I could do a lot when my daughter was a lot younger. And so it did, as a single parent, freelancing gives you the flexibility to not only be able to work a schedule that's good with the kids, but also gives you the opportunity to still build a business, a good, viable business.
Yeah, and I love what it's teaching the kids. So remember, I was just talking earlier about how I think this concept of not understanding what a business is or how to build one or how to prioritize it, how I felt like that's going to begin to change over time. And I think that's one of the ways it's going to change is those kids, you know, these young generation right now, really young generation, that's being raised in those households, it's just going to be second nature for them to run a business.
Yeah, because they've seen it done. And what do you think is one of the advantages? I know that the Freelance Association and the Freelance Conference promotes community in the freelance community. In the past, it's always been where freelancers have kind of done their own thing and then just moved on with it. What do you think it is about this community, the freelance community that's part of Austin Freelance Association and the Freelance Conference? What is different about this community for freelancers?
Well, as much as the majority of freelancers tend to work at home alone, you know, like what you just said, they don't necessarily all want to be at home alone all day. You know, they're still human beings, and they still need interaction with other people. They still need to be able to bounce ideas off of other people. So I think it's just the natural evolution of freelancers that have been freelancing for quite a while and we've gotten past the shame of being a freelancer and begun to accept freelancing ourselves and beginning to see that society accepts us more. So you've heard me refer to freelancers kind of as feral cats, and I think that's some of the reason why is we've had many, many years of just going out in the society and them saying, oh, well, when are you going to get a job? Or like you said, one day you'll get some real work. And my thought was, wait a minute, I get paid real money, so what difference does it make? That's a side note, I guess. So,
but that's a common frustration that we all have. You know, when you're freelancing, you have that common frustration of people not understanding. And do you think that the fact that more and more people are able to work remotely has helped freelance become more accepted?
Absolutely, because I don't know that it was I wasn't sure if it was or wasn't accepted, and I think you're right, it wasn't accepted, but it was only not accepted because it wasn't understood. And as society sees it more, they become more engaged with it and like, oh, these people are actually making money. These people actually have, you know, retirement accounts and, you know, whatever the things are, right, that makes people feel more comfortable with it and accept it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the freelance conference. It started here in Austin. Was it really 3 years ago?
No, you know, it was actually 2 years ago. Even though we're coming up on our third event, it was, I'm almost positive, it was July 12th, 2014. So 2 years ago.
Okay.
That's when it was, the idea came about. The first conference was October 28th, 2014. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, the second one was October
28th, 2015. Mm-hmm. And the conference has grown dramatically every year. What is different about this year's conference?
Well, we have finally decided to expand. I remember the first year I got a lot of feedback. It was like, wow, one day was so cool. I really wish there was more time. And I said, yeah, I'm just not up for it. And so the second year, you know, I had a larger group of volunteers that helped me out, which was absolutely fantastic because it was still one day, but we packed a lot more into it. And having the support of those volunteers made the day, whole day run a whole lot smoother. And then I got more of the same feedback. It's like, wow, and, you know, you got more of it because there was more people. You know, it grew by 150% from year one to two. And then, so when I looked at that, I said, okay, fine, let's do this. So this next year, we're growing into 3 days. And we have got some really cool stuff. Really, really cool stuff. So I've brought on two partners into the company now. And so we have someone that is completely architecting, engineering the experience from our very first event, which will be called Frunch, and all the way through the, you know, co-working crawl, and then we've got speakers coming in from all over the country, and then, of course, we're going to add a third day, which is going to be, I'm calling it an interactive day, where you have conversations and workshops and things like that.
That sounds great. And this first one is going to be in Austin. Do you have plans to take it national?
Well, in my mind, it is already national, right? So that's one of the reasons for the tour of celebrating freelancers across the nation is to help more people know that it exists. We did have people come in from New York. We had people come in from California last year. So it started, you know, that little bit of a migration of people coming in from around the country. And so regardless if it stays in Austin forever or moves to other cities, in my mind, I'm going to say it's already national. But, yes, there is a chance that it may move to other cities starting next year in 2018.
When is the next one? When's the 2017 conference?
It is February 16th through the 18th.
And you're selling early bird tickets already. How are the ticket sales going?
The extra super duper early bird tickets go on sale. We always do a 72-hour pre-sale, to people that are on our list. So if you're not on the list, go to freelanceconference.com and you can get on the list to get the pre-sale price. So that's our lowest price. And that starts August 29th, I do believe, 29th,
oh, okay.
30th, and 31st. And then mm-hmm. they will go on sale to the public on September 1st with the what we call the super early bird price, and then you have early bird, then you have a regular price. And we haven't defined exactly what that pricing structure looks like yet, so keep your eye out.
So there's a lot coming up with the Freelance Conference then. So where is your first – when will you know where you're going to be when you're doing the Ignite talks?
Well, I know most of them. Let me see if I can remember them off the top of my head. We're going to start in New York, and I believe it's September 13th. It's a Tuesday night. We are 99% confirmed on space, so I hate to say exactly what the space is and something possibly fall through with that. Then I see the next month is, oh, my goodness. Of course, I don't have my computer today, so I can't even look it up. But I know the cities are Dallas. Well, we have New York, of course. And then I believe we're going to Dallas the next month, if I remember correctly. And then the month after that, I believe, is Portland. And then the month after that, I believe, is Houston. Right? Well, I think maybe it's Houston. And then we'll have L.A. And then we will finish up in right here in Austin.
That sounds fantastic. Now, one of the things that I personally can credit you with is bringing freelancing to the fore here in Austin. And it sounds like that's what you're going to be doing nationwide. What makes Austin a great place to have started this?
Well, honestly, it's probably because I lived here, right? But the other thing that I found why Austin has become such a great town for freelancing, and I know there's other towns that have this as well, is that Austin has such a tremendous startup community. And, you know, startups tend to really need a lot of temporary help. You know, I need help just on this project, just for this piece, and just they need a lot of specialty, you know, help, interim help, temporary help, freelance type help. And so I think that's what really helped kick it off super quick, because we've done some stuff in a few other cities and trying to recreate what we've done here in Austin. And what I'm noticing is because their startup community isn't quite as rich as ours, and I don't mean that monetarily rich, but just
as big as
ours or as vital, yeah, robust. And so far that's the biggest thing that I think might be a factor, but it's only been out there for about a year, so it's kind of hard to tell how much of it is that versus how much of it might just be having the energy or the person interjected in that space to pull them in and really get the momentum going enough that it begins to feed on itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's I'm excited to hear more about it. It's a perfect answer. And I'm just so excited about all of this. If somebody wants more information about the Freelance Conference, where can they go?
Well, I try to keep that one simple. Freelanceconference.com.
Okay. And if they want to know more about your Ignite talks, where can they find you?
Well, you know what? Since we just got all that put together about 3 or 4 days ago, it isn't posted anywhere yet. But I would say that keep an eye out on the site called Freelance Playground. That's what those meetups are going to be called. And right now that site, you know, just has a page that says that we're doing this. And as soon as we get all of our dates absolutely confirmed and we know that we have a space in every single city, then we'll really start launching that pretty hard. You can go to Freelance Playground and be able to see those dates, or you can look up on meetup.com in any of those cities. And once those cities are confirmed, the Freelance Playground meetup will get set up.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Emily. What else have you got going on really quickly in the last minute or so that we've got?
I don't think I have time for anything else to go on.
I was going to say, you know, that's kind of a silly question because you're just all over the place.
Well, I say that, and then at the same time, I just got all my audio files pulled together and sent off to my editor. So hopefully, with my fingers crossed, the Genetically Unemployable podcast will launch September 1st.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Emily, for being with us today. I appreciate your time. And
Thank you so much. I'd love to have you come back. This was so much fun.
I'd love to have you come back as we get closer to the conference.
I will be happy to. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We were talking with Emily Leach, the founder of the Texas Freelance Association and the Freelance Conference. Be looking for her Freelance Playground talks around the country coming up in the next few months. And then go to freelanceconference.com to find out when you can get tickets for the Freelance Conference. It'll be held here in Austin in 2017, and I really think that this is going to be the biggest yet. And if you're a freelancer, you really need to be part of this group, of this conference. I'm Lori Leiker. I'm with Small Biz Coaching. I am a business coach, and I help with also larger companies with employee retention. If you have any additional information or need additional information, feel free to email me at smallbizcoachtx@gmail.com. Or you can visit our website at smallbizcoaching.net. Thank you very much. Next week we will not have a show on Tuesday. It will be up on Thursday. We have a very special guest, Tony Dorso, and you're going to love listening to him. So thank you once again, and we will talk soon. Thanks for listening.